Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
Oh, thank you, Father. You know, that a king would die for his subjects. It says more about the king than it does his subjects. That God would have such an incredible love for us. Let me tell you what today is about, church. Today is about a celebration. Turn to your neighbor and say, party. No, say, partay. There you go. We have been working and waiting and planning and preparing and praying for months to throw this party. And guess who the person of honor is? It's Jesus. And I know that you've got a lot of things, so many family opportunities and friendships, and you know, maybe you got some traditions that you go through every Easter, and that you would carve out time to come celebrate with us. It's a big deal to us. It's our highest honor to be able to host this experience, to lift up the name of Jesus, but then to celebrate that with you. But you need to know what you're celebrating today. You need to know, how many of you know, you can't appreciate the good news until you first know how bad the bad news really is. You know what? The human race got started off in a very bad condition, didn't it? Adam and Eve, when sin entered into the world, sin makes slaves of us all. And to be a slave to sin creates an empty life. Somebody say empty. But you know what? We believe that heaven has an answer to the emptiness in life. And that's the empty tomb. The empty tomb is heaven's answer to an empty life. And the theme for today, the scripture in 1 Peter chapter 1, I love what the words of God say. The Bible says this, and you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life. That empty life that you inherited from your ancestors. Thank you, Adam and Eve. And every generation from that day until this, we walked into this thing, we got off to a bad start, but aren't you glad whenever it came to the human condition of man, when it came to our sin, God didn't just send a man, He became man. And He wrapped Himself up in flesh. And the Bible says that He didn't pay with gold or silver, but He paid for you and He paid for me with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. The good news is this today. Maybe you brought emptiness into this building, but I'm believing by the time you leave today, God can fill you everywhere you're empty. Do you believe that this morning? Can we just welcome Him just for another moment? Father, thank you for this opportunity, Lord, that we get to turn our eyes toward heaven. God, as we look at ourselves and as we look into this world, it's one empty experience after another. But Lord, I thank you that today, that the message of hope is clear. That Jesus, you came into this world doing for us what we could never do for ourselves. Lord, fill every heart, fill every life. No one has to leave today feeling empty because Jesus, you carry fullness. Full of grace, full of mercy, full of kindness, full of hope. God, fill every heart with hope in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Now look at your neighbor and say, you're the best looking thing I've seen all day. You can be seated. You have your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. As you're turning there, came across this story I thought would help us get started. A man and his wife and his mother-in-law. How many have a mother-in-law? Okay. Man and his wife and his mother-in-law went on vacation to the Holy Land. And first time that they had ever been, and husband and wife were really excited, mother-in-law kind of invited herself. While they were there, unfortunately, the mother-in-law passed away. And so the husband and wife went to the embassy and talked to the U.S. consulate, and with the help of the undertaker, tried to make arrangements for what to do with her body. The undertaker tells the couple, listen, he tells the man, you can take your mother-in-law home, you can ship her home for $5,000, or you can have her buried right here in the Holy Land for just $150. Well, the man didn't take long. He answered immediately. He said, you know what, I'm going to bring her home. The undertaker was a little confused. He said, why? Why in the world would you spend $5,000 to bring her home when she could be buried right here in the Holy Land for $150? You must really love your mother-in-law. He said, well, not so much. He said, 2,000 years ago, a man died right here. He was buried right here. 3 days later, he rose again. I just can't take that chance. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, he ain't right. Listen, I didn't laugh at that joke because I love my mother-in-law. Come on, everybody say, God bless mother-in-law. The theme for today is empty. We're talking about empty. And, you know, in life, we don't really like empty, do we? We don't like empty. You know, how many of you have ever been to a restaurant? Maybe you went on a date night. Do you guys go on date nights? Come on, how many of you are in desperate need of a date night? Cool. Fellas, you take your wife to a fancy restaurant, one of those high-level restaurants, and you know you're going to spend a lot of money. But it doesn't matter because you got a gift card. And have you ever taken her to a restaurant and, man, you ordered what you wanted on the menu and you knew it was going to be high dollar, but what they brought to the table, it just left a little something to be desired? There's nothing worse than going to a restaurant and leaving empty, knowing that it was overpriced and you were underfed. The good news is today you don't have to leave the house of God empty. We don't really like empty. We don't like empty stomachs. You ever had that awkward moment when you were so hungry that your stomach just started talking, making noises, and hush? Empty stomachs, empty coffee cups. How many coffee drinkers do we have? It's a crisis when the coffee cup is empty. Come on, some of your priorities are God first, family second, and then coffee is a close third. Empty gas tank. You ever run out of gas before? Oh, yes. Bad feeling. One time I ran out of gas. Rachel and I were dating, and I drove to her house, spent some time, came home way too late, and driving down Airline Highway past the old woman's hospital, my car started to sputter, and I pulled over on the side of the road. I had to call my dad in the middle of the night. Dad, I'm having car trouble. How many of you know he wasn't happy to come get me? So the next morning, I had my car towed to an auto shop, and the guy called me later that afternoon and said, listen, we did a little diagnostics on your car. We put a little gas in it and it started right up. Oh, don't tell me that. Can you just change the timing belt or something? Yeah, Dad, it was a timing belt. We don't like empty gas tanks. What about an empty bank account? Somebody say, oh, me. What about that box of cereal? Come on, you're hungry. Any cereal lovers? You go to the pantry, you grab that box of Fruit Loops and you pull it off the shelf and there's like 3 Fruit Loops in the bottom and a bunch of crumbs and you're like, oh, you got me. Or what's even worse is you pour the cereal into the bowl, and then you go to the fridge for the gallon of milk. Come on, no milk is a crisis. Can you say amen? Amen. Empty, 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 empty toothpaste. You're running late for work. You grab the toothpaste. You're like, ah, well, I'll just pop a mint in my mouth, and it's all good. Empty toilet paper roll. You ever been to a public restroom? We don't like empty. Physical emptiness creates a problem, but you know, emotional and relational emptiness creates an even greater problem. Maybe some of you are here this morning. You've been married for a long time to the love of your life for years, but now this is the first Easter that there's an empty chair at your kitchen table. Maybe you're a mom that's experienced a loss in pregnancy. You once felt full of life and full of hope, and now you feel empty. All alone. Maybe you've been diagnosed with a sickness. Sickness you feel like no one understands. Maybe you struggle with addiction. Addiction has a way of stripping you of everything that's precious to you. There's something about life that seems to take, 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 take. We live in a world that wants to strip us and empty us of everything that's precious and valuable. But we serve a God who says, I have come that I might fill up your life. You see, the one place, there's one place where empty is the best news that you could ever hear, and that's the empty tomb. In Luke chapter 24, I want to read about a dozen verses to you today. If you don't have your Bible, you can look on the screen and track along with me. But Luke chapter 24, this is Resurrection Sunday. I read this again this morning when I woke up. You know, I had a guy text me early this morning. He said, "Pastor Mike, I've been awake since 4:30. I can't wait to get to church." Aren't you? There's just a sense of expectation on days like today, because empty is the best news you could ever hear when it comes to the empty tomb. Luke chapter 24, verse 1, the Bible says this: very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb. They were taking spices they had prepared. Now listen, these ladies were going with an expectation of what they would find inside that tomb. They weren't preparing for life. They were preparing for death. These were spices and anointments to embalm the body of Jesus. They went with one expectation but left with another. Isn't that just how God works? I love that about God. Bible says, verse 2, they found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went inside, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them. Clothed in dazzling robes, the women were terrified and they bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who's alive? He isn't here, but he is risen from the dead." Isn't that awesome? He says, "Well, wait, if you're looking for life, you're looking in the wrong place. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here, but he's risen. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed in the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day." Everybody say third day. 3 days later, he would rise again. Verse 8, then they remembered that he had said this. So they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, it was Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men. Come on, fellas, sometimes we struggle to believe, don't we? Man, you're crazy, girls. You're just making up gossip. Man, this is just foolishness. It's just nonsense. It's so ridiculous. How in the world could you ever make this up? The story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. However, Peter jumped up. And he ran to the tomb. Now, that's significant because in ancient Bible history, Middle Eastern men, they don't run for anything. It was undignified to run. How many of you look a little undignified when you run? How many of you are afraid to run because you might pull a muscle? Come on. Peter jumps up and he runs back to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and he saw empty linen wrappings. You see, those wrappings indicated where he had been, but not where he was. Can I have a good amen? Oh, evidence. Jesus left behind evidence of where he had been, but it's not where he was. Empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened. Jesus overcame the ultimate statistic. The only man in human history to ever cheat death. And his resurrection authenticates everything that he ever said and did. You know, and you can read in the other Gospels as well, that after the resurrection of Jesus, for 40 days, Jesus, he appeared not only to his disciples and some of his followers, but 500 people. And in that 40-day span, talking to 500 people, he never added to or took anything away from anything he ever did. I want to tell you, because Jesus is alive, you can believe everything that he ever said and ever did. Can I have a good amen this morning? You say, "Mike, what does the empty tomb have to do with my life?" Heaven has an answer to the emptiness in life, and I want to give you two thoughts, and then I want to pray with you before we leave today. Two thoughts about the empty tomb. The first one is this: the tomb is empty so that your heart doesn't have to be. The tomb is empty so that your heart can be full. Now, it's interesting how Mary Magdalene and some of these ladies, they went to the tomb early that Sunday morning. And the Bible says that they saw a huge rock. The stone had been rolled away. Now, let me tell you what's significant about this. This stone probably weighed about 2 tons. What kind of weight is that? 4,000 pounds. Big old rock that was plugging up the entrance to that tomb. But the Bible says that the stone was rolled away. Now, there's a reason why that stone was placed in front of that grave, because it had been rumored that Jesus, he made some outrageous claims. Jesus said, if you destroy this temple 3 days later, I'll build it again. He was referring to the resurrection. And so the religious leaders were so nervous. They didn't want that to happen. So they had this 4,000-pound rock to seal this tomb. Not only that, they injected wax around this rock to seal any crack or crevice. And then they got the Roman emperor to place a seal, his signet ring, the insignia to say that this thing is secure. But the Bible says that these ladies, when they walked upon that tomb, they saw the stone had been rolled away. Now, let me ask you this question. Why was the stone rolled away? Did Jesus really need to escape? You think that rock was holding him in the grave? You see, the stone was rolled away not for Jesus' benefit, but for ours. You see, Jesus wanted us to have entrance into this experience. Let me tell you, Jesus could walk through walls. Come on, somebody. You think a rock is going to hold him back? Listen, the rock was rolled away not for Jesus to escape, but for us to enter. He says, for all of humanity, I want you to see, I'm no longer here. I am alive. You know, if you were to go to the tomb of Muhammad today, you know what you'd find? You'd find a body. It would say occupied. Go to the tomb of Buddha. You know what you'd find? Occupied. Confucius's tomb, there's still remnants of his body left today. But if you go to the tomb of Jesus, it's empty. And that emptiness says, hey, I'm no longer here. I'm not stuck behind a rock. Some of you feel like you're in between a rock and a hard place. Some of you, your life circumstances are so huge, you feel like you're being crushed by a stone. Let me encourage you today, he still moves stones. Maybe it's a stone of addiction. Maybe it's a stone of worry. Maybe it's a stone of fear or insecurity. But I want you to know that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, it now dwells in you. There's a power now that's available to each and every one of us. And that stone, that rock that was supposed to hold Jesus back, it's been rolled away. And now Jesus invites us in. You see, the tomb is empty, so your heart doesn't have to be. You know, Jesus no longer, he doesn't sit on a tomb. He sits on a throne. I love that because you know what that tells me? He's in control. How many English lovers do we have? How many of you were good in English? Okay, 3 people. There's like 2,000 people here this morning. You remember how you had to dissect sentences and you had to diagram stuff? And I'm going to give you just a quick English lesson. I'm not very good at English, but my wife is spectacular. She proofreads everything. She's smart. How many fellas you married way above your pay scale? Amen. So my wife taught me this the other day. She taught me, you know, at the end of a sentence, you're supposed to punctuate sentences, correct? Is that right? When you reach the end, you'll punctuate it. In fact, there's a difference between a period and a comma. A period marks the end. Whatever your thought is, when you come to completion, when it's finished, you put a period at the end of that. But a comma doesn't say it's over. A comma says, pause, catch your breath, but there's more to come. Difference between a period and a comma. I believe that on Friday, the devil wanted to place a period on the hope of humanity. He wanted the world to think, your hopes died when this man died. Period, it's finished. Some of you, the enemy's been lying to you, saying, hey, your marriage is over. That sickness in your body, your best days are behind you. It's done, period. But listen, don't place a period where God puts a comma. God says, no, no, no. Friday was tough. Watch this. Friday was dark. Saturday was silent. But Sunday changed everything. Friday night, it looked like all hope had been lost. Now you say, but Mike, didn't Jesus say it is finished? Yes, his work was finished, but God's work had just begun. Hope for humanity was being birthed out of a tomb that was empty. And because his tomb is empty, your heart can be full today. Come on, can you help me preach this Sunday morning? An empty tomb says our hearts can be full. The second thought that I want to give you is this. God meets us in our emptiness. Don't you love that about God? In fact, I think God is irresistibly drawn to emptiness. You look at Genesis chapter 1 at the beginning of Scripture, really the beginning of time. The Bible says that the world was without form. It was void. It was empty. But the Spirit of God hovered over it, looking to bring life into emptiness. God is irresistibly drawn to emptiness. That's good news today. In 2 Kings chapter 4, I love the story of Elisha, the prophet. The Bible says that he was talking to a widow woman who was basically flat broke. She had nothing left. The creditors were coming to take her sons as slaves. And she cried out for help to Elisha. And Elisha said, "What do you have in your house?" She said, "Well, I don't have anything except a little flask of oil." You know what Elisha told her to do? Go borrow every empty vessel you can find. Interesting. Why would he say borrow empty vessels? Because God loves to fill empty places. And so she did, and she and her sons borrowed with neighbors and friends, borrowed so many empty vessels. He said, "Now go into your house, you and your sons, and shut the door, and take what little oil you have and start pouring it into everything that you find empty." And do you know what? That oil continued to flow as long as there was an empty vessel. That tells me that God is irresistibly drawn to emptiness. In John chapter 4, Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well. She was trying to draw out water because if she had water to meet her basic needs, she thought she was complete. But Jesus said, "No, no, you don't need water from that well. You need living water. And I can fill every hole in your soul." God is drawn to emptiness. Emptiness creates a space that God is pleased to fill. It gives him room to do some of his best work. You see, God's gift to our emptiness, it's accompanied by the promise that he'll fill our emptiness with nothing less than himself. I was at Walmart the other day. How many of you go to Walmart? Oh, yeah. If you live in Prairieville, you spend a lot of time at Walmart. I tell this all the time. I tell Rachel the other day, "Listen, when I die, I want you to bury me in the Walmart parking lot because I know you'll come visit me every single day." That's how it works in our family. I mean, some of you were at Walmart this morning. I had to make a grocery run even before I came to church today, getting ready for lunch. I'm at Walmart all the time. And, you know, I struggle in Walmart. How many men, you struggle? I mean, struggle. Even though you got your list, you still don't know where anything is. As many times as I've been to Walmart, I can't find a single thing. I was looking for cream of shrimp this morning and had to get help. I mean, I talked to myself. Anybody else talk to themselves? Some of the most intelligent conversations I have ever had have been with myself. I was mumbling the other day and some lady, she heard me. She said, "Sir, I don't know who you're talking to, but if you're looking for oatmeal, it's on aisle 7. And so the other day, I worked hard to actually get everything on the list. You know, I'm checking it twice. I got everything in my little buggy. And so then I bring it to the front. And I don't like self-checkout. I don't know if you like that or not. But I figure I work hard enough just to find the stuff. Please, somebody help me out. Have a good amen. Self-checkout, and you're trying to, you know, press all the buttons and find the barcodes. And if you don't bag it, if you don't put it in the bag, it'll fuss at you. I'm like, just chill out. So I had to go through self-checkout out of necessity the other day. And so I did my best to find those barcodes. And man, bless my little heart if I have to weigh fruit or vegetables. Don't ask me to do that. I'm helpless. But I finally struggled my way through all of those items. And I bagged them. I put them in the buggy. And I'm pushing that buggy out the door. And a lady, one of the sales associates, she stopped me. She said, "Sir, can I see your receipt?" So I realized I didn't have a receipt. I realized I hadn't paid for these groceries. I said, "Ma'am, you're not going to believe this." She said, oh, I bet I will. And in my mind, I thought, dude, I could just see it in the newspaper. Healing Place pastor caught shoplifting in Prairieville, Walmart. I just got so, there's just so much going on. I totally forgot. Look, here's my wallet right here. Man, I left my wallet in my car. You hold these groceries, I'll be right back. She said, sir, you can leave this store, but these groceries are staying right here until somebody pays the price for these groceries. Now, you know that life that we want to live that's full and passionate and purposeful, it comes with a price. You can't make it to that life of eternity until the price is paid. And here's the truth. When it came to your sin condition and my sin condition, we didn't have enough good works to pay the price. We couldn't foot that bill. How many of you know salvation, it doesn't come cheaply? In fact, the Bible says that Jesus paid a ransom to save us from that empty life. And he didn't pay with gold or silver, but he paid for you and he paid for me with the precious blood of his son. It's the blood of Jesus that bought our salvation. Grace is what we need the most, but deserve the least. And Jesus laid down his life, but 3 days later, he rose again. And that empty tomb is our receipt. Come on, can somebody help me? That empty tomb is the receipt that says, paid in full. Some of you question your value. Look at the cross, look at the tomb. Both of them are empty so that our hearts can be full. God meets us right in our emptiness. Jesus steps into our worst to give us God's best. You see, sometimes we try to fill our souls with so many things that only leave us empty. Jesus is the only one. I said Jesus is the only one that can fill us everywhere we're empty. In chemistry, Jesus turned water to wine. In biology, he was born without the normal conception. In physics, he disproved the law of gravity when he walked on water and then later ascended into heaven. In economics, he disproved the law of diminishing returns by feeding 5,000 men with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. In medicine, he cured the sick and the blind without ever administering a single dose of drugs. In history, he's the beginning and the end. In religion, he said, no one comes to the Father except through me. So who am I talking about this morning? He's our King, Jesus. The greatest man in history. Jesus had no servants, yet they called him master. He had no degree, yet they called him teacher. He had no medicine, yet they called him the healer. He had no army, yet kings feared him. He won no military battles, yet he conquered the world. He committed no crime, yet they crucified him. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, yet he lives today. And he left that tomb empty so that our hearts can be full. This is our Jesus. Let me close. The Bible says in John 10 that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Do you know that's the plan of the enemy for your life, is to take from you? You say, Mike, why do I feel so empty? Why is my life so empty? Maybe the enemy has taken from you. But you know what God's plan for your life is? Jesus said, I've come that you might have what? But not just any old life. I've come that you might have life in abundance to the full until it overflows. That empty tomb says something to an empty life. God can fill you. You know, I can't go through Easter without thinking about my grandfather, my pawpaw. He was born in 1912. And you know, he was a barber for 60 years. He cut hair for 6 decades. Now, he had 5 children, all of them girls. And he raised 5 girls, my mom and her twin sister and then her 3 other sisters. He had 5 daughters that he raised as a barber, cutting hair for $1 a haircut. And you know, in his 20s, he was a wild man. In his B.C. days, his before Christ days, while he was working on his testimony, how many know what I'm talking about? He loved to drink. Man, he loved to party. He loved to chase. Man, he was wild. And when he was in his 20s, he was at a party with one of his friends. and just was toasted, man. Had way too much to drink. Had no business getting in his car, but he and his friend, they left about 2 o'clock in the morning, got in their vehicle, and were driving home. My pawpaw, he couldn't even keep his eyes open. So in the middle of the drive, the friends switched seats. My pawpaw was driving, but then he went to the passenger seat, and his best friend went behind the wheel. And I guess maybe a half hour later, got in a gruesome car accident. And his best friend lost his life. And here my pawpaw at 22 years, never been to church, didn't know anything about God, didn't understand purpose or passion, or all he knew was emptiness. And he carried the guilt of that accident for years. He kept thinking, that should have been me. I was the one driving the car. It was my decision. I made wrong choices, but yet my best friend is dead. It cost him his life. Well, years later, in fact, the year was 1948, Easter of 1948, my pawpaw down in McAllen, Texas. I don't know if you know where McAllen is. You can't go further south in America than McAllen. Otherwise, you'd be in Mexico. Right there, just the very tip on the Rio Grande. Easter Sunday, 1948, my pawpaw walked into a small, full gospel church, Foursquare Church. Didn't know a lot about God, didn't know anything about church, didn't know anything about faith. But on Easter Sunday, 1948, he heard a pastor preach a message about how Jesus took our place. Jesus switched seats. And the pain and punishment that our sins so deserved, he took upon himself. And that pastor said, greater love has no man than this, that a man will lay down his life for his friends. And for the first time in years, it made sense to my grandfather. Jesus took my place. And at the end of that message, the pastor, he said, before we leave today, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to this Jesus. And my papa stood up from the back of that church. That was back in the old school days when you walked the aisle and you made a public profession of your faith. 1948 Easter, McAllen, Texas, at a Foursquare church, my papa stood up. His life had been plagued by guilt and regret. It was one empty experience after another. And he walked to the front and he gave his life to Jesus. And from that day, the spiritual legacy of our family had begun. Generations later, 3, 4 generations later, now my children walk in the wake of that decision. Do you know my pawpaw died in December 10th of 2005. And one of the greatest privileges I've ever had. Was to preach his funeral from his Bible. His Bible. That for years he had read and marked. Boy, he had written in that Bible. He had marked up that Bible. He highlighted that Bible. The markings of that Bible had marked his life. And I was able to preach his funeral. My grandmother told me, she said, Mike, when your pawpaw breathed his final breath, see, they were in a nursing home, side by side. He was so weak, he could barely speak. You could barely hear him above a whisper. But in his final moments, she said, in the middle of the night, my pawpaw clapped his hands, lifted his hands toward heaven, and shouted at the top of his lungs, whoopee, hallelujah. And he died and went to be with Jesus. I wonder if he saw Jesus coming to get him. I wonder if all the things that he had read about and that he had heard about, now his faith had become sight and Jesus reached down and brought him home because that tomb was empty. Listen, at the graveside of my grandfather, we put his body in a tomb. But I'm telling you, there's coming a day when Jesus comes back to get us. And not only was Jesus' tomb empty 2,000 years ago, but my grandfather's tomb will be empty as well because he will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with our Lord. I want to know, do you know Jesus today? Do you know him today? Do you know him today? He can fill the emptiness in your soul.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225 225- 753-2273.